Jeremiah chapter 18, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 1, and then you join me responsively on verse 2, and we'll read down to verse 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you that you're the potter. And it's not up to us to shape our lives. Lord, that's your job. I pray that, please, you could use this truth this morning in the lives of each person here. I pray that, Lord, please, you would strengthen us. Help us, Father, please, to be more usable because of what we learn, more yielded. We love you and we need you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many pictures in the Bible of God's relationship with us. One of them is the shepherd and the sheep. Now, there's nothing flattering about that because sheep are the stupidest animal on the face of the earth, all right? However, when you say the Lord is my shepherd, you're actually admitting that you're one of his sheep and that it's good for him to lead us and to provide for us and to protect us. That's one picture that God gives, is the shepherd and the sheep. Another picture of God's relationship with us is given by the husband and the wife relationship. And God says, as the husband loves the wife and as the wife finds security in the husband, so God loves us and we find our security in him. And God says, it's the closest picture I can give of my love to you is that between a husband and wife, where God pictures the husband and the Christian pictures the Christian. So you have shepherd and sheep, you have husband and wife, and these relationships God uses in the Bible to picture our relationship with him. Another one is this, the father-child relationship. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord thy God pitieth thee. So just like we look at our children when they're small and we think they need to be taught, they need to be trained, they didn't know any better, we need to teach them and prepare them for life. So God also says that relationship with a father and his children is similar so that you can relate to what I do with you. There's one more, and those are several, shepherd and sheep, husband and wife, father and child. Jesus this morning didn't save you just so you could go to heaven and miss hell. Now, if you're saved and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you get to miss hell. And that's good. But that's not why you were saved. That's a benefit of being saved, but that isn't why God saved you. God saved you to be with Him and to use you in His service. I hope that makes sense to you. In other words, we get so used to what's in it for me. Okay, if I get saved and I trust Jesus, what's in it for me? And I understand that. And there's nothing wrong or unscriptural about that. But after you get saved, you're supposed to ask yourself the question sometime before you die, what's in it for God? Right? Because He didn't save you just to save you from hell. Although, praise God, He did. He saved you, number one, to be with Him. It says that in Mark chapter 3. Jesus called the disciples to be with Him. It was so they could preach, cast out demons. It was so you could be with Him. When you spend time with God and you read your Bible in the morning, it's one of the best things you did on why God saved you. He saved you to spend time with you. And most people don't think that. Next, God saved you to use you. God saved you to use you. Jesus Christ came down to this earth, lived 33 and a half perfect years, died in your place, made heaven available to you. But could you, just a second. Now, the reason this isn't out of place is, you ever put your money in a Coke machine? Chink, chink, chink. Okay, nowadays it's swipe the card. Okay. You ever put your money in a Coke machine and then you press the button and you hear the motor go and nothing drops out? What do? You look around and you kick it, right? Because it says, you know, don't tilt the machine. Then you look it around, you kind of rock it. And you feel ripped off, right? If God paid His Son for me, I cost God His Son. My sin cost God His Son. Then it's reasonable for the Lord to be able to look at me and say, what do you give me in return? Because it was free. Praise God, right? All I had to do was accept it. But if such a wonderful gift was given to me and it's free and I accepted it, then it's just like, I often wonder if God goes, you know, I paid, hit the button, and then nothing comes out. I wonder if God sometimes wants to go and kick the machine. God saved you to be with Him and so He could use you. So He could use you. That leads me, the relationship here this morning in Jeremiah chapter 18, the picture that God gives of Him and us, or us as a Christian, is the potter and the clay. The Lord is working you and shaping you into the image of Jesus. Romans chapter 8 says this, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate or predetermined to be conformed to the image of His Son. What's God trying to do in my life? The same thing God's trying to do in your life. Get you to a point where you're usable. And the more like Jesus you are, the more usable you are. And I have a lot of growing to do, and I'm not like the one who died for me yet, but I'm learning. But that's what He's trying to do in my life. He's trying to make me like Him. And the edge that I have on me, my temper, says that needs to be filed down a little bit. And my lack of patience, that's an edge that needs to be filed down. I got a lot of edges on me to where when people look at me, there's things that aren't like Jesus. Do you understand? But He's trying to make me like a potter makes the clay into a usable vessel. He makes you so He can use you for His glory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:13, we are considered the filth of the world. We as a child of God are considered the off-scouring or the manure of all things. And yet God turns us into vessels of honor. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, just listen, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. What's God trying to do? God's trying to take a dirty, dirty sinner and turn him into a beautiful vessel. You can call this ceramic or looks like it was spun on a wheel, circular. God's trying to make dirt into this. It takes a big process. It takes a big, long process. God told Jeremiah, go to the potter's house because I want to teach you about what I want to do in your life. Go down to the potter's house. Look at how he works with the clay. Look at how he labors to make it work, and you're going to learn what I'm trying to do in your life. That's what he tells Jeremiah there in chapter 18. You see, I've learned something as a Christian. We're nothing without Jesus. We can't do anything without Jesus. John 15:5 says, Jesus told us, for without me ye can do nothing. What a verse. What a verse. First of all, if I noticed the purpose of the potter. In Jeremiah chapter 18, he says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You see, the potter in the potter's house has one purpose. He makes vessels that do three things. Are you ready? He makes a vessel that represents, number one, His labor and His workmanship. You turn out a piece of junk, then your job is going to be represented by the junk you turn out. He knows that. The potter knows my vessels that I create, that I make, represent my work, represent who I am and my thoroughness and my attention to detail. Next, the potter that's there working with the clay, he makes vessels not for himself, but to be used by others. Next, his end is he makes vessels that bring a profit. Right? Or ain't going to stay in business long. Right? So Jeremiah goes down, he said, and he's told by God, look at the potter, think about what he does. And he says, just like the potter is, so am I in your life. What does God do? Are you ready? God saves us, and then He starts to transform us by His grace, but it takes work. God is trying to, number one, do the same thing the potter was doing. He's trying to make us a vessel that represent Him. And for some of you, your only family, you're the only Jesus that they're ever going to hear about. They don't read their Bible, they don't go to church, but they watch you. And when you get under the gun and you get under pressure, you're the only Jesus they'll see. God is trying to work in your life to make a vessel that represents who He is and what He is. They watch you. They watch you. They watch your consistency in going to church. They watch. Yeah, in other words, you say, "Well, I shouldn't be on trial with people." Okay, we're all on trial with somebody. The pressure's on with everybody. Our neighbors know what we do and where we're going and when we're gone. Right? This morning on your way to church, you could have waved with your Bible. See ya. All I'm trying to let you know is God's trying to work in your life to make a vessel that represents Him, that represents who He is. Number two, just like the potter, God's trying to make a vessel that can be used by others. God wants to use you in the lives of other people. It isn't, God's trying to, everybody here has somebody that only you can reach. And if you don't reach them for the Lord, they will die and go to hell. God is making a vessel that is, number one, represents Him, and number two, will be used by somebody else. And I hope this morning, you're as a Christian, you're thinking all the time of who. I think everybody ought to have a face in their head of somebody that you're working on and praying for that they don't die and go to hell. You see, there's something I know about a Christian. There's something I know. Once you've been saved from hell, you don't want anybody to die and go there. Now, you may have a different way of laboring to do it, but there's nobody in this room that wants somebody to die and go to hell. Number three, just like that potter is laboring to make a vessel that represents Him to be used by others, God is also working in your life to bring Him a profit. There's supposed to be things in your life that benefit the Lord. Otherwise, the vessel does what? It becomes marred, and then it has to go back through the making process, and God's eventually trying to get a return. He's trying to make something usable out of your life for Him. All right? That's the potter. Have you ever considered only the Lord Jesus is able to take the worst that He can find and change it into the best heaven has to offer? Have you ever noticed what the potter works with? They find clay in dirt. You dig the clay out, separate the dirt. You can normally tell the clay because it's a lot more denser and it's gooier. Then they take the clay and it has to dry for weeks. They just take it and they put it in these containers and before it gets to this, okay? Before it gets to that, it's just dirt that's put on these long things, and then a hammer is taken. They separate the sticks and the twigs out of it. Once it gets dry, that takes weeks to get the moisture out of it. Then they take a hammer, and I know in some cases in the production places it's a machine-like battering ram that batters it. But when they do it by hand, they lay out the pieces of clay and the clods. Now it's dry, and they start beating it. And it makes it into a powder. Then they can take more of the impurities out. Then they can take more. Then they run it through a sift. That powder goes through an eighth-inch screen mesh, and it keeps the big pieces out. Then it goes down to a smaller mesh, and they take that powder, and they sift it through till finally, then they take and they put it in a vat, and they pour water over it. It's called making slip. This process, they'll pour the water in till it comes over the edge of the dust, and then they leave it for 6 months. 6 months. That lets the clay, they'll stir it up, and then that lets the clay settle down, and then the water that's dirty and that has its impurities, then they pour that slip off. Then it takes another 6 months for that clay to dry to the point to where now they can start working with it. That's a year at least. It takes time to work with the clay. Have you ever considered what the potter works with? Just like you and me, we were dirt. God says, don't you ever forget the pit I dug you out of. I was dirt. I was filth. God dug me out. God reached way down to get me. And then He started putting me through the process that clay goes through, taking things out of my life. Don't need that twig, that stick, that's going to make a mess. Do you realize it goes through two beating processes? Once it dries for a year, it doesn't ever get fully dry. It's just enough so that the plasticity of the clay can now be worked with. He takes that same hammer, and before he starts to work with it, he beats it again, and this time it gets all the air bubbles out. It's beat twice. God starts working in your life so that He can use you, and it involves drying and waiting and beating. If you aren't careful, you're going to take the hard times in your life and you're going to look at them. What's God trying to do? He's trying to make you usable. Yeah, but why did this happen? I don't know why all of it happens. I just know that God can take the things in your life, and if you'll let Him, God is trying to make you into a vessel that represents Him, that can be used by others and brings Him a profit. You say, but this is, I know some of it's very hard. The hammer process, I was amazed. I didn't know clay got beat twice. I knew it got beat once. But I didn't know it got hammered to get the air bubbles out. Because if you fire it with air bubbles, as it starts to harden, if there's an air bubble in there, part of it will, the heat does what? Causes the air to expand, and then that part of the vessel explodes. Then it ruins the vessel. You got to get the air bubbles out. What's the soaking in the clay, in the water? What's that represent? Your Bible is a pipe type of water. Do you want makes you soft and pliable is your Bible time and the time you spend in the Scriptures. You're supposed to be reading the Bible every day, Christian. It does what? It puts the water on the clay and helps me be soft. Have you ever seen a Christian that stays away from their Bible a long time? They're pretty dry and they're hard-hearted. And they crack easy, and they can't deal with pressure real good. And instead of forming, they break when they have pressure applied to them. Jesus said here, God tells Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and look at how the potter works with the clay. Look at what he's doing. And then I want you to think of me because I'm just like the potter in your life. I love this and thinking about this. God saw me as dirt in the ground, and he saw the vessel that I could become if I yielded to Him. Romans 4:17 says this, God calleth those things which be not as though they were. I know that's wordy, but God calls you not because of what you are, but because of what He sees you can do for Him one day. I'm so glad. God sees the potential of every person in here if you yield. God sees what you can become. You say, well, nobody in here is a finished product. But God calls the things that are not as though they were. God says, I know what, if you give your life to me, what I can do with you. I know how many people you can reach. I know what you can, I know the rewards you can earn in heaven. I know how I can use you in the lives of others. If you yield, if you yield. As I go through this, the purpose of the potter, what he has to work with, I learn about how God has worked in my life. Number two, if I start considering the ministry of the potter, what is his purpose? What does he do? If you're there, and I don't think I've had you to go, but if you're in Jeremiah chapter 18, would you look at verse 4? Watch this. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I love this phrase, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. What happens when we blow it? This ought to be one of the most encouraging parts of Scripture in your Bible. What happens when you fail as a Christian? God doesn't ever throw you away. The potter never throws the clay away. Remember the process? Beating, powder, sifting, soaking, drying it out. He's got too much time invested in it. So as he takes the clay, and then when he's working with it on the wheel, and it's spinning as fast as he's working the wheel, and he's working it, as a mistake happens, he never goes, oh, stupid piece. He's got too much time invested in that piece of clay. Aren't you glad God will never throw you in the trash? And when you make a mistake, and when you fail, when I stumble, when I fall, when I disappoint Him, He never throws me away. He makes me again. And His patience, the patience of the potter, is absolutely amazing. He doesn't throw me in the trash. He says, okay, takes me off of the wheel, and starts to press, and I think I might go back on the table and need some more air bubbles beat out of me. And then he starts to work with me again. I started thinking of this, of the potter on the wheel. When he puts that on the wheel and then he gets it spinning, and it's a pedestal that comes up with a little platform, it's very important that I stay right in the middle so I don't do a lopsided spin. The will of God should be very important for every Christian in here. I want to be right in the middle of God's will. I don't want to be in my will. I love the old statement that goes like this, wait until you get the bill for doing your own will. Because you do your own thing, the bill's coming. The bill's coming. I'm so glad that the Scripture teaches me when I become marred or defaced or a broken vessel, God doesn't throw me away like He doesn't throw you away. He makes you again. He starts working with you again. Did you know this can happen to any one of us at any time? God says in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, all these things happened unto them for ensamples in the Old Testament, and they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. I love this. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There are many Christians who started out well for the Lord, but along the way they got weak, and then they got out of balance, and before long they were vessels of dishonor instead of honor. Don't ever think you can hide anything from the Lord. He sees it all. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's aware of every thought, every deed, every motive. I'm kidding myself if I'm thinking I'm keeping a secret from the Lord. The best thing I can do is to be responsive to His touch and yield to His activity in my life. Even though the clay is misshapen and deformed, it's still in His hand. The potter takes the marred vessel, presses it back into a lump, and begins again. The potter reworks the clay as much as the clay needs. I love this. The reason the clay has faults isn't the potter's fault. It's the clay's fault. And the only time I've been marred, and the only time I've gotten hard is when I decided I'll do things my way. I'm running the show. God, I'll call the shots for today. That's the only time I've become marred. And what did I have to do? Go back and say, I'm sorry. You're the potter. I'm the clay. mold me, would you mold me again? And I'm so glad He's never thrown me away. He's always taken me back. Christian, this morning, God does the same for you. When you fall, you must allow the Lord to lift you and help you, but don't lose hope. In here in Jeremiah 18, can I show you something? Watch this. Right there, and look at verse number 11 and 12. Jeremiah 18. Now therefore, so after Jeremiah learns the lesson, God sends him to Israel. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Here's the message. Are you ready? Return ye now every one from his evil way. That's God's message. Come back. I know you've gone astray. The come back, return, come back to me. That's God's message. Do you know why they wouldn't? Look at verse 12. And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imaginations of his evil heart. Did you know the Bible is full of people who lost hope in God? Don't ever lose your hope. If you'll read your Bible and use illustrations like this, it's a lie of the devil. It says, oh, everybody can get right with God except you. Oh, you can't come back. You've blown it so many times. You're such a failure. That's Satan trying to get you to do what? Lose hope. If you lose hope, then you quit going back to the potter and you quit saying, I'm broken. I messed up. Please remake me. You only ask him when you haven't lost hope. Israel lost hope. He said, they're not asking me anymore. I could remake them. I can take you back anytime. But they lost hope. Christian, don't lose hope. I don't care if you've accidentally fallen in sin or if you've on purposely sinned. You said, I did wrong. I knew it was wrong, but I was doing it anyways. I don't care what your condition is. If you don't lose hope, you can come back to God anytime. Aren't you glad? God never stopped loving you when you became selfish. That's the type of God we serve. When you hated Him, He never hated you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. The whole message of the chapter is, come back. God is saying, come back, I can help you. But they wouldn't. If I took you to, we won't this morning, but if I took you to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I could take you to Hymenaeus and Alexander, who were shipwrecked. I could take you in 2 Timothy 4:10 to Demas, who loved the world and forsook Paul and his missions. These people went down in history as someone who would not allow the Lord to remake them when they were broken. All I'll tell you this morning is, it seems to me, one of the messages of the chapter, the things we can learn from the potter is, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. There are times when we are all a bunch of cracked pots. Amen? I put that in there. I thought that was pretty good. Dealing with pottery. We're all a bunch of cracked pots sometime, and all of us have our stubborn moments. But God, if you will let Him, will remake you. Will remake you into a usable vessel. When God is aware that things are not as they should be, He begins to take the necessary steps to get us back to a usable condition. Don't lose hope. The message is return. This morning, there are times, I just want to encourage you, there are times when the clay, I have to hit this, there's times when the clay becomes no longer pliable and yielded under the potter's touch. When this happens, the potter has no choice but to set aside that hardened vessel and choose another lump of clay with which to work. He doesn't throw you away. But if you keep fighting the potter, ow, don't push there. Ow! If you keep fighting the potter, he never throws you away. He just says, the clay is fighting me too much. So what he does is he shelves it. And he puts it, and it's going to get hard. You ever seen Christians that as far as they never yield to God? They never get the picture that God is trying to work in their life, and so they get angry. Come on! Oh, leave me! Leave me alone! And God says, I work in your life as you let me. I don't force my way into anybody's life. And if you don't want me, then I'll put you on the shelf, and when you're ready, you ask. Paul's greatest fear was that as a Christian, he would one day be put on the shelf and not be usable by God anymore. He said this. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a what? A castaway. He was saying, I as a Christian don't want to reach the point that that clay that just keeps fighting the potter finally has to be put on the shelf and it can't be used by God. It's not thrown away. You're forever on your way to heaven. Glory to God. I'm so glad. Once saved, always saved. But you can't be used in anybody's life. Paul lived with that fear until he died. I would hate to be a Christian that God could not use. I want to be, I'm just clay in the potter's hand, lifted up from the miry sand. May He mold me to His demand. I'm just clay in the potter's hand. I'm just clay. I don't want to fight the hands that are molding me. I don't want to do that. All I can tell you this morning is please stay in the potter's hand. Don't ever say, God can't use me, if you'll just stay in the potter's hand and don't fight. God will make you. You say, I'm not smart enough. Stay in the potter's hand. You say, I've got too many weaknesses. Stay in the potter's hand. You say, I can never do that. Stay in the potter's hand. You say, preacher, I'm a widower or I'm a widow. What can God do with me? I'll just tell you this morning, He can make you a precious vessel, anybody, if you'll just stay in His hand. Stay in His hand. Everybody, anybody as a Christian who's ever amounted to anything for God has stayed in the potter's hand. Finally, what's God's message this morning? Number one, God is in control. The wheel spins as fast as the potter spins the wheel. God's in control. The clay has no right to question the potter's judgment in the matter of what kind of vessel he makes of it. You say, well, I want to do this with my life. And God says, I don't want to make you into that. I want to make you into a kitchen vessel, something you can cook water and cook meals in. No, but I want it to be a flower pot. God says, let me make you into what I want to make you, into what I see best. Don't tell God how to do His job. Look, are you getting the picture? If I'm supposed to examine the potter, what he goes through, what his methods are, all that he has to do to make a vessel. And just like God is working with the clay, the potter's working with the clay, God's working with me, it looks to me like the biggest thing I can do as a Christian is yield. Just yield and quit fighting God. That's the message of the clay. Just become pliable, bendable. You want a handle here? Okay, that's fine. You want the lip here? God, what do you want to do with me? Please use me. That's the message from the potter and the clay. This morning, just please yield. Can you say, I am yielded to the will of God for my life? Or would you have to say, there's areas where I run the show? There's parts of me that I have not given to the potter. There are circumstances that I face that I feel I need to control and work out. Are you this morning, from Jeremiah 18, clay in the potter's hands? There was a man and a woman, and they were going down the road, and it was on a narrow cliff, and it was a pretty severe drop-off, and as they were making the turns, the wife got nervous, and she was like, "Hun, it's real close," and she grabbed the wheel, like this. Sound familiar? The husband was driving and he goes, "Hun, it's either you or me, but both of us can't drive this." And she goes, "We both can't drive the car." Same thing with you and God. Let go of the wheel and let God steer it. It's like there was one, my auto mechanic came out to get a car, and his shop was up at the top of the hill, and after he attached it to the tow truck, he let the guy sit in the truck, and when they started going up the hill, he was giving it full throttle he never had to do that before, to get the truck to pull the car up the hill. When he finally got it up there, he said, "Man," he said, "I never struggled like that." The guy in the truck said, "Well, I kept the brake on," he said, "so we wouldn't roll backwards." He said, "If you would have just taken your foot off the brake," he said, "we would have gotten up the hill fine." What do you mean you're putting on the brake so we don't go backwards? Same thing. In the Christian life, where God's trying to take you, you say, "Well, I need to be in control. I need to work. I can't trust God." Trust God. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Take your foot off the brake and get your hand off the driver's wheel. Yield and let the Lord and let Him steer. This is either a very comforting passage of Scripture to those that have made mistakes, or it's a very convicting passage to those that are trying to run the show. I hope the Lord's able to use this in your life this morning. It's blessed my heart studying it. It's blessed my heart, and I've longed to preach this. But I hope it's an encouragement to you this morning. Let's pray. Father, please.